Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 1 of the study of 1 Samuel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Samuel chapter 28. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage you to go to 10weekbible.com and download the reading plan for 1 Samuel and follow along reading or listening to it 10 times in 10 weeks. If you're an avid podcast listener, I want to let you know about another podcast I produce that I think you might like called Naturally Supernatural. My friend Caleb Harper and I delve into how the Lord works today, how you can grow in that without being weird for the sake of weird, and we interview some of the best guests on the subject you probably won't hear anywhere else. You can find us on iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for Naturally Supernatural. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes in our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God. Would you speak to us? Give us revelation into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. We're going to be reading today, as always, from the NIV. This is 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 1. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, "You must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army." Verse 2, David said, "Then you will see for yourself what your servant can do." Achish replied, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." All right, hit pause right there. This is so strange. This is a bizarre moment in David's life. Now, we know from previous weeks that David has finally decided that he is not going to run from David anymore, or from Saul anymore. The Lord has on multiple occasions spoken to David through the prophets in his company that he is supposed to be in Judah. Don't leave Judah. Every time David has left Judah, the Lord has spoken to him and told him to go back to Judah. That's where he belongs. He's been anointed king over Judah. He needs to be in Judah. That's where he needs to stay. The problem is Saul keeps trying to pursue him and kill him there. Every time he sets foot in the province of Judah, in around his countrymen, they actually rat him out and they turn him into Saul. And Saul has come looking for him. So David has finally said, enough of this. I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. And so in kind of this act of disobedience and defiance, David has gone off to Achish, king of Gath. So David was living in Gath, and then not long after they got there, he went to Achish, who he had found favor with for some reason. And this is one of the most bizarre stories of, you know, keep your enemies closer than, you know, whoever else in human history, because David was the one who killed Goliath. From Gath, the champion of Gath. He's the one who showed up in Gath with Goliath's sword and then feigned insanity. I mean, this story is just so bizarre. But he somehow finds favor in Achish's eyes. And, you know, Achish loves him. And Achish gives him the town of Ziklag for all of his men to be in. And David's been lying to Achish nonstop, telling him, "Hey, I've been going and killing and raiding the people of Judah." Been telling, you know, Achish is like, "Hey, where'd all this plunder come from? You know, you keep coming back from, you know, with each week." And, you know, David lies to him and tells him, "Well, it's from the, you know, people of Judah and here and there." And Achish thinks, "Oh my gosh, they're going to hate him so much. He's going to be my servant for life." And, but in reality, David was fighting the enemies of the people of Judah and actually, pushing Judah's territory back further and further into enemy territory. And, so now Achish is like, you know, "Hey, by the way, we're going to go attack Saul, the guy you hate. We're going to go attack him now. And I want you to fight with me. I want you to be my personal bodyguard." And David is like, "Well, hey, that's a great idea. Yeah. Yeah. Achish, let's do that. You'll see exactly what I can do." I mean, he's caught in this horrible web of lies now, and he doesn't know what to do to get out of it. I mean, if you're in David's situation now, you can't just come clean, because at that point, the mobilized Philistine army is going to fight against you. So he's in a real tough spot. He needs some kind of external help to get him out of this. But for right now, he doesn't know what to do. He is stuck in a really horrible lie. But we're going to have to hit pause on that, because we're not coming back to that storyline until a later chapter here. But for now, let's carry on with chapter 28, verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. Now that's just an aside to set up why Saul is going to do what's coming up here. Verse 4. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shittim, where Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw that the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium so that I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and the two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." Now, what a sad moment in the life of Israel and the life of Saul. You know, Samuel, the one who Saul kind of leaned on, inquired of the Lord, even though he didn't really ever listen to Samuel very well, he's dead. And so now Saul sees his arch enemy, the Philistines, the only people group that Saul has been terrified of his entire life. Ever since that initial conflict with the Philistines, when they came up and he said that they were as numerous as the sand on the seashore, he's been terrified of the Philistines forever. That's why David sought refuge with the Philistines in the first place, because he knew that that's the one place Saul is not going to attack. Saul was very eager to attack all of the people groups around him except for the Philistines. He was terrified of them. And here they are one more time. They've gathered. So kind of in the storyline of what we know of Israel, remember they attacked Israel when Samuel was younger, and Samuel stood up at the beginning of this book. He stood up as the last judge of Israel, and he fought and he defeated the Philistines on behalf of the Lord's people. And he defeated them soundly. He actually took towns away from them. But over time, Samuel had kind of retired, put his sons in charge, and they weren't interested in protecting the people of the Lord. And so the Philistines had started to encroach back on their land. They said, "Give us a king who will fight our battles for us so that we don't have to repent, so that we don't have to let this encroachment happen, when the Lord is judging us because we've turned away from him." And so they named Saul king, and Saul goes to battle against all these other people. But when the Philistines arrayed in battle, they were so numerous. But it was his son Jonathan, his righteous son Jonathan, who took up the fight, and he beat them. But Saul has always been terrified of the Philistines. And here he is again. He's terrified to death, and he's so afraid of them. The Lord's not speaking to him through prophets or through casting lots or anything, not speaking in dreams. So he's so desperate because he's so afraid. He goes to a medium, someone that for the sake of Samuel, basically, he had cast out of the country. Verse 9. But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Verse 11, then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." Now, this is one of the most amazing stories to me in the whole of Scripture. The Lord is anything if not clear throughout the Bible that using mediums and things of this nature are just literally one of the worst sins you can partake in. Engaging in witchcraft is one of the worst sins that you can partake in. I mean, it is so clear all throughout Scripture. So the fact that Saul has gone and done this isn't so peculiar, because we've seen his character throughout this book. What's strange is that for whatever reason, and however this works, she actually calls up Samuel. And this stuff is real. This stuff is real. The spirit world is real. And this woman is constantly in communication with demons. So the fact that she brought up Samuel, and I struggle to believe. Some people will say that this is, a demon who's pretending to be Samuel. Maybe that's what it was. We don't really have any way of knowing for sure. It doesn't give us any indication of that. It only tells us what Saul understood it to be, what this woman and Saul understood it to be. Saul, when he heard the description of him, believed it was Samuel. And the word that Samuel gives sounds like it's actually Samuel, sounds like it's actually coming from the Lord. So the question here is, did the Lord actually allow Samuel, who is in the presence of God now, to be called up by this demonic witch? Did he actually allow that? Or was this some kind of demonic representation of Samuel, demon pretending to be Samuel? We don't know. But either way, it's so bizarre. It seems to me, from the way the story goes, that the Lord actually, for whatever reason, permitted Samuel to be called up by this woman. And he gives Saul a very negative word. Verse 13, the king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I am in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or dreams. So I have called you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had not eaten anything all that day and all that night. When the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, "Look, your servant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so that you may eat and have strength to go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch. The woman had a fattened calf at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked bread without yeast. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. That same night, they got up and left. So here is this spirit, whether or not it's actually Samuel or a demonic representation or a demon mimicking Samuel, we don't know. But regardless, he gives Saul a true word about what's going to happen the next day. This is why it makes me feel like this is actually Samuel, that the Lord has somehow allowed this to happen, which is what makes it such a strange story. But, you know, this is not a good word. This is not, Saul would have been much better off just leaning against the Lord, but we've seen in this character over and over and over again, Saul is not someone who's genuinely loved the Lord. He did not know the Lord. The Lord was something of like a mean taskmaster to Saul. He didn't trust the Lord. He didn't have faith in the Lord. He didn't really serve the Lord. And so here he is calling up through a medium, through a witch, Samuel. And Samuel prophesies one last time to him and tells him, "Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me." Now, whether or not that is a statement of the Lord redeeming Saul for eternity in his presence, or just meaning you will be with me in death, you will no longer be in the land of the living, it's not clear. Many would say the implication is just death. It's not making a statement of whether or not Saul will be with the Lord or not. My thought would be that even though Saul was wicked, he was still the anointed king of the Lord, so it seems like he would be with the Lord, but there's no implication one way or another. It's just that he's saying, "You're going to be with me in death." That's what most people would say is what Samuel is alluding to. But regardless, this is a true word. We're going to find out that Saul is going to die the next day at the hand of the Philistines. And we see where this is going. Our author has set this up perfectly here to show us that David is now in a really tough spot because of his lies. And he is now actually marching with the Philistines on Israel to attack Saul and his army. That is the cataclysmic event that is coming, and only the Lord can intervene to set things right now. Both these men, Saul and David, have both found themselves in really terrible positions. One has thrown himself against the mercy of the Lord time and time again, and one more time he steps out and he disobeys the Lord and he does something detestable in all Israel. David is going to escape by the skin of his teeth, and Lord willing, he's going to learn his lesson from this last time here. We're going to see a very changed man in David after what's coming here in the next day. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's really helpful. It lets other people know about the podcast. It shows other people who are interested in finding Bible studies about this podcast. So I appreciate it when you do leave reviews on iTunes. I read every one, and I appreciate any time you communicate with me. I love hearing from listeners. But I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.